G'day.
Morning, Kate. How are you?
I'm really well. So you've heard what David Muir has had to say about a kind of process that he thinks that we should go through to have what he says is a much more sensible situation for Australia to be in, to have an Australian head of state. It does make sense when he puts it like that, doesn't it, Sean?
Sure. Well, I think, Kate, you know, David makes a few different points on a number of areas, and a lot of them, I think, you know, are quite sensible and reasonable. But I think, you know, the key question here is Republic relevant? And I don't sense that there's a compelling reason there at all. We've got a institutional attachment to a symbol that's built to last in an age of short-termism. We have an extension of that, the Governor-General, a position that remains above politics. And I feel that politicising a position that's above politics will inevitably, as one of your listeners pointed out, create an extra layer of government, an extra burden, and an extra cost burden at that. So,
well, David wasn't proposing that. He was saying we should look to Ireland, where there isn't a politicisation of that as much, at least in terms of a party political sense. This would just be the right of Australians to vote for the person who they think they would be, who they think would make a good head of state, as in Ireland.
Well, that's correct. However, Ireland tends to have a tradition of electing ex-politicians to that position. I think that that's a model, though, that has to be examined a little more closely over time. Ireland's model fits for them, and I think it's a fit-for-purpose model in Ireland, but our model is much more fit-for-purpose in Australia and under our circumstances.
Why does it make more sense, and is it more relevant to Australia's interests to have a member of the monarchy in the UK as our head of state than to have someone who is Australian in Australia as our head of state?
Well, we look, for example, at the stability, I'd say, that the Governor-General has been able to provide, being above politics under Australia's political system. We've just had a reminder recently with the soon-to-be-released Palace Letters around the constitutional crisis and the very rare moment that the Governor-General had to step into politics and intervene. An incredibly destabilising time in Australian political history. And I feel that a lot of Australians, regardless of what side of the debate or the discussion you're on, the monarchy versus the republic, we don't want to ever see a repeat of that. And I feel that a directly elected president replacing the Governor-General will inevitably politicise a position once again that is supposed to be above politics. And I think that's served us incredibly well. And I think that we should remain attached to that position going forward.
On ABC Radio Brisbane and Queensland, Kate O'Toole is my name. You're hearing from Sean Jacobs, who's from the Australian Monarchist League. Simon from Brisbane is on the line as well. G'day, Simon.
How are you going?
You can't see any benefit in changing the current situation?
I can only see disbenefit in changing the current system.
Yeah, why is that?
Well, if you have a look at the history of the Roman Republic, it lasted for quite a while, but eventually it succumbed because of ambitious people seeking absolute power. Now, we only have to look back at the last number of prime ministers and those who would really seek absolute power and manipulate whatever they can manipulate to gain that power. And so our system means that those who are ambitious for absolute power can't possibly get it. And whereas if they do wish to contribute, they can contribute very effectively in a parliamentary system. So there's no real benefit to a republic. In relation to the constitutional constitutional crisis of 1975, that's a demonstration of how our current system works perfectly well, because the government wasn't operating properly, it was inoperable. And the Governor-General exercised the Governor-General's only power, and that is to put it back to the people, and the people got to say. So under the constitutional monarchy which we have, where there is a crisis and the government isn't working, the system allows for the people to have another say, and it works perfectly well.
Simon, thank you so much for your comments. Appreciate that. If you wanted to join the conversation too, by the way, 1300 222 612 is the number, or text 0467 922 612. That's 0467 922 612. Jenny says, "A republic, really, with a president, with Trump as a role model? I don't think anybody has suggested that. In fact, we were looking to Ireland, actually, as David was pointing out, as a kind of model as to how it, how this different sort of system could work, which is quite different to the idea of a president being nominated by Parliament as well, and being sort of individually voted by members of the country. I don't know. What does that sound like to you? We had another caller too, saying that John Howard was the one who put the referendum on the agenda, as he was the Prime Minister in 1998. Keen to hear your views too. You can continue to talk about that. Do you think, though, just speaking here to Sean Jacobs from the Australian Monarchist League, do you think that the instability that you mentioned, the stability of the monarchy, but there has been some instability there too. Of course, Prince Harry has decided to, you know, exit the family in some way. Mm-hmm. There's a bit of uncertainty about what is likely to happen next and how comfortable Australians might feel about that. Do you see that as a moment of vulnerability?
I can certainly understand why a lot of Australians see that, Kate, as I guess examples of vulnerabilities, and it certainly was quite an active year last year in royal terms. But I think, though, historically, that you have to look back at how these changes, I suppose, play out over time. And if you do look at that, it tends to follow a trend where the institution tends to set the example, I suppose, pardon me, versus the personalities themselves. So I think, you know, when the Queen, now in, you know, her 90s, and setting an example around being a symbol that's built to last in an age of short-termism, integrity, public service with change, all those sorts of things, that will continue throughout the monarchy, throughout or over time and throughout the generation.
And another thing that will continue is, as David mentioned, that you mm-hmm. can't help but the person in that role have divided loyalties, that their first loyalty will be to England, surely, and that they also have loyalties to other countries in terms of being, you know, able to forge trade relationships or to assist in any way, that their loyalties are ultimately divided.
Well, there's loyalties and, of course, there's interests as well, and Australia is a fully independent nation, as we have been for some time. I think, you know, we're, of course, looking back on Paul Keating's speech now in 25 years, and, you know, he cited in that cultural diversity, our Asian relationships, reconciliation with Indigenous Australians, and then also just equal opportunity and equal rights. And I think that we've made huge, huge gains on a lot of these points. We were on our way when Paul Keating cited them, and even since then we've made huge strides in that area as well. So I sort of sense that, yes, there's loyalties, but there's also interests as well. And in terms of those interests, we've done incredibly well and been incredibly successful under the Crown.
Sean Jacobs is from the Australian Monarchist League. Des is from Atherton. G'day, Des.
Bev, it is. B-E-V.
Oh, Bev, sorry.
Yeah.
Your take?
My take is I don't think there's anything wrong with the system that we have now, but I believe that the Governor-General should just become the Queen, that we shouldn't go any further than the Governor-General. He should be appointed like he is now, and he has the final say. And really, the Governor-General might go off to the Queen, but she'll only agree with what the Australian people agree with. She won't make any controversial rulings, so why not just go up as far as the Governor-General?
And are you happy with, essentially, the government of the day appointing the Governor-General?
I'm happy with the government of the day, the way it's constituted and everything else. I don't see anything wrong with it.
Bev, thank you so much for that comment. Appreciate it. We're going to hear from a few people, because a few people have just called in, but we don't have an awful lot of time. Michael in Townsville, your thoughts on this?
Yes, how are you going?
Good.
If we become a republic, you have one man who may be the president, and he himself, in a constitutional crisis, is there to make decisions. So it's just one man who can make that decision, whereas the constitutional monarchy, the Governor-General can be referred to Buckingham Palace, which has had over 1,000 years of experience in these sort of things, and make a fit and proper decision. That's what I can say. Like, with the Republic, you got one man with all that power to make a decision, determine direction in a constitutional crisis.
Got it.
That's what I've got to say.
Yes, thank you so much, Michael. You made that point, I think, really clearly, and I think there's a few people who agree with you there. G'day, Rodney.
Oh, yeah. How are you, Kate?
Really well.
I disagree with us going to being a republic, mainly because if you look at past prime ministers and that type of thing, there hasn't been what you would call very honourable men or women amongst them. And I can just imagine Kevin Rudd, who was the most vicious man that I've ever seen.
Well, I don't think we need to sling around personal insults, Rodney. I think people from both sides of politics would have differing views of the other side. I don't think it helps anyone to get personal. But I understand your point that you would have a certain cynicism about people attempting to seek power in that way.
Exactly. And then you'd have both people like Gillard.
No, as I said, I don't think throwing around personal insults is going to serve any purpose here. So, Rodney, I think we might move on from there. And also, Smithy gave us a call as well, didn't want to hang on the line, but as a former policeman, his view was if the system is not broken, then there's no need to change it.
On ABC Radio Brisbane and Queensland, this is Kate O'Toole.